Amen. Amen. Well, we are finishing finally the chapter 9 of the book of Mark. Just a couple of verses. We'll get to all that. Our reading will be in right now in in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll be reading kind of a long passage, longer than the passage we're studying. 1 Peter 4:12 through verse 19. Our message will be talking about how we be seasoned with fire. And what does that mean? We'll talk more about that. But this is a good cross-reference to that. Peter talking about fiery trials that we go through, hard times that we go through. All right, thank you. Okay, so you all read the odd number, or the even numbers. So starting with 1 Peter 4:12, ready? Begin.
Beloved, do not think it strange that you are in a fiery trial,
which is describing as though some strange thing happened to you.
But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy.
You are reproached for the name of Christ.
Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters.
Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter.
For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Let's pray. Lord, and we want to be that to you, and we can be that by you doing it through us by your Holy Spirit. And we just pray again that you would just open our eyes to see the wonderful things in your word, and you would truly feed us and teach us today from the scripture. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Mark chapter 9, you know, Mark chapter 9, the chapter starts with him being transfigured on that mountain, his glory being shown. And then from there, you know, then he comes down from there and there's a debate going on. And there's the man who has the son who's demon possessed, and he delivers that boy from the demon. And then after that, he's telling his disciples that, hey, I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise. And they're not getting that. And so then he tries to explain to them that you have to become like a child, really, to understand, like childlike faith, that is. Not childish, but childlike, just where you trust your father. And he talks about what true service is not. I just left a part out in this chapter where they're debating on among each other, these 12 guys, of who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They're thinking that Jesus is going to bring his kingdom on earth right now, conquer the Romans, and I'm going to be second in command. No, I'm going to be second in command. And they're battling and debating, and he has to kind of get them off of their high tower in that sense. And then what we looked at last week, we looked at the study was on hell, because this Mark 9 is one of the most heavy, if you will. Jesus, by the way, he speaks of hell almost exclusively in the Bible. There aren't many others that really talk about hell. But he says three times about that you'll go to hellfire he talks about basically if your hand causes you to sin, if your foot causes you to sin, or if your eyes cause you to sin, you know, cut off your hand, cut off your foot, pluck out your eye, because it's better to enter into heaven maimed or blind or whatever than to enter hell with all of your human parts. Now, of course, that's not literal. That's just figuratively. He's just saying, Don't let anything get in between you and your relationship with God. Now, what's important here, I'm just going to read we're just looking at the last two verses of the chapter, which are almost look like they're off the subject, but we'll connect them. But let's just look at verses 47 and 48, or listen to, if you like, where Jesus says, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where," and then he quotes Isaiah here, it says, "where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched." And that's heavy stuff, right? And we're going to look, last week I said I would talk about what that meant, and I didn't do that. So number one on your sheet, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get into the last two verses of this chapter. So number one on your worksheet says hell or Gehenna. That's the Greek word for hell, transliterated right to English. Hell or Gehenna refers to the Valley of Hinnom, where children were sacrificed to a false god named Molech. So there, you know, many false gods back then, and the two wicked kings, Ahaz and Manasseh, they were sacrificing their own sons in the fire, their children. They were allowing that for others to do so. So that's just very horrible and heinous, right? Now, an ancestor of them named Josiah, he was a godly king, and he destroyed the place where they did the human sacrifices. And that's where you have the reference on your worksheet, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10. And then we'll get back to the Isaiah verse. But 2 Kings 23:10 says, "And he," that's Josiah, "defiled Topheth," that was the place where they sacrificed the children, "which was in the valley of the sons of Hinnom." That's where we get Gehenna from. The valley of the sons of Hinnom, "that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech." That was what was going on there. Now we go back to the Isaiah 66. This is the last verse in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters, and verse 24, the last verse there, talking about those who will believe in Jesus, it says, "And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Jesus, we just quoted that when we were reading here in Mark. He says, "You'll be cast into hellfire where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." What does that mean, where their worm does not die? Well, simple answer is, I don't know. No, but there are different opinions. But the word worm, both in the Old Testament and in the New, translates into maggot, like maggots, you know. Talking about this place, Gehenna, some believe that after the godly king got rid of the area where they sacrificed their children, that it became a garbage dump. And with all the stuff that was dumped and the constant burning of garbage, you know, there'd be maggots that would be feeding off the dead carcasses of animals, whatnot. So the maggots would either turn into flies or they would die. But Jesus is saying the worm never dies. And Isaiah said that too. And that's me as a metaphor for hell. Some people say, well, hell is just, you just don't exist anymore. You're just, I forget the term, but you die and you're just, someone knows the term. I can't think of it right now, but you, annihilation. Huh? Is it annihilation? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, annihilation. You're just annihilated and you don't exist anymore. I would hope so. I would hope for that, but that's not, the Bible doesn't teach that. So heaven and hell are real, like we talked about last week, and eternity lasts forever. So what does that mean? Some go to heaven and some go to hell. Does that mean that God is a meaning? No, because we know God through the scriptures, and that those of us that know him are getting to know him, that God, and he says of himself, Jesus says two things about himself when he describes his personality. Anyone know? He says, "I'm mean and I'm vengeful." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "I'm gentle and I'm humble." Jesus says that. And then elsewhere he says, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." So guess what? The Father in heaven is gentle and humble. And he doesn't want anyone to be saved. We went over this last week in 2 Peter 3. That he He doesn't want anyone to perish or go to hell, but all to come to him, all to come to repentance. That's the heart of God. So that's just, like I said, that's just really heavy stuff. I sure, you know this by now, some of you may not, that I was saved, I was 15 years old and I had a good family. I was adopted into this really good family. I believed in God. At one point when I was younger, I thought, I really believed that when I die, God will ask me, do you want to be with me or in the other place? So that's not how it works. So I'm flipping channels at 15 years old, and this preacher is on the TV quoting some of these verses, and that really scared the hell into me of what I say reverently. And I came to Jesus. My wife came to Jesus through compassion of other people and hearing the truth, and that you can be born again, right? And so she was like, whoa. And so I like to say, you know, my wife came to, we came to the, she, I had that verse last week from Jude on, some have compassion, making a distinction. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Lori was plan A, I was plan B. That's what I like to say, you know. And however it works, my wife believes in hell as much as anyone else. And I believe in the goodness and compassion of God as much as anyone else. So that is who our God is. And then finally, you like to hear that? Finally, we're 7 minutes into it. But we just got two verses here. The end of Mark chapter 9. Excuse me, I'm really sorry. Verse 49, Jesus then says, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So we're going to look at this. I'm going to a few comments on this very short passage, and we're going to spend the rest of our time on the worksheet and finish up. for everyone will be seasoned with fire. In that sense, it's true if it, whether someone's in hellfire or just the fact that what did we read together? Peter says, don't think it strange when you face these fiery trials, right? It's hard down here for everyone, really it is. But as a Christian, we suffer for a purpose. We suffer, God, we belong to God. So whatever he allows us to go through, fiery trial, it's for his purpose, you know. And I think I alluded to this last week. Obviously, we know there are places around the world where Christians are just being tortured and killed and running for their lives, and that's just their whole life. And it's just such a different context here in the United States of America because we are so blessed with all these blessings. But there's nothing wrong with that too, because God is love and he loves his children. And there are blessed people in the Bible that loved God and he showed his love for them. But we have these fiery trials, and we'll be seasoned with fire. And then every sacrifice seasoned with salt, we will get to that one a little later in our worksheet. But let's look at number two on the worksheet. We will all be tested by fire. The word there is tested. And we can get on 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. We'll read that in just a minute. But I'm just going to finish, just back to the word on our passage where it says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? I like to think, how do you salt salt? You know, salt is dull. And what he's alluding to there, I understand, is near the area of the Dead Sea, there was salt that would go bad or something like that. Or stuff that looked like salt, but it didn't taste like salt. And so it just would get trampled, you know, and then he says, you know, have salt within yourselves, and have peace with one another. So salt had a purifying effect, you know, still does. It can be used medicinally, salt. And it also it brings flavor. And so for us, you know, Matthew, I'm sorry, stay on the, thank you. You got that up there. I'm jumping around a little bit, but we know that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses, the same thing, if the salt loses its saltiness, how will it be salted again? So, but here's the thing. We ebb and flow, right? I represent God well, and sometimes I don't, but he's my redeemer and he's changing me. But the exhortation is clear. We are to stand out, you know, in this world so that the world will be attracted. What's different about this person? That's different, you know, and we're to preserve. And again, back in the Bible, they didn't have refrigerator. So when they had meat, they had to heavily salt it to preserve it. And that's what our calling is as believers, is to be a preservative, if you will, in this wicked world that we live in. So, but if we could go back to 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15, we will all be tested by fire. For no other foundation, Paul writes this, can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, that's the day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Now check, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So in other words, if it's really for all of us, the things that we've done that were not of the Lord, whether it's sin that we did, or maybe even a great service that we did to someone and think, well, I'm really going to get rewarded for this. We might have the wrong motive, whatever. That might burn, you know, but the things that we did that was led by him, we're going to get rewarded for. And I truly believe that we're going to be blown away by his generosity, because he says, we talked about this last week, even a cup of, it was in our passage, I think, even a cup of water, he says, will not go without reward. That's how generous our Lord is. And then the day of judgment, I want to clarify again, for a Christian, heaven, the issue of heaven and hell, it was judged on the cross. So if you've put your trust in Christ, we all sin. I still sin. I feel like I sin as much as I used to. Now, I don't think I'm doing anything that disqualifies me to be a pastor, but whether it's thought life or attitude or this or whatever, indulgent thinking or doing, we all still sin, right? But the issue of heaven and hell has been settled at the cross. So when you die as a believer, you are going to heaven, and you're going to get whatever reward God is going to give you, rewards, right? For the unbeliever, this isn't so. You can reference, you can look, we're not going to go there, but you can look up yourself, Revelation chapter 20, that's, I think it's 15 verses, it spells it out, that there's going to be a judgment at the end of time with all people who haven't put their trust in Jesus, and the books are going to be open, and they're going to be judged by their works, and that's called the Great White Throne Judgment. So two different things. Okay, so we got number two there. Let's see, perfect. We're halfway done, and maybe less than that time-wise. So number three, fill in the blank, who knows it? Our God is a consuming, thank you, I knew you'd know it. Thank you, no, I appreciate it. We're not loud enough here, so shout it out. Our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? I mean, I don't know. Again, I do and I don't know. I just wrote next to that, can be both bad or good. Again, because hell is a bad, you know, a bad place to be. They'll just think of fire itself. You know, they say fire is something we just have to respect, because there's so many benefits to fire, right? It can, you know, burn down things that need to be burnt down, and it can keep us warm, you know, but you don't want to get, oh, this is so warm, let me just stick my hand in the flames. No, it can burn too. Someone told me about, they were clearing ditches somewhere. I forget who told me exactly where this was, but they were clearing ditches with fire, and a rabbit or something caught on fire and took off into someone else's field and burnt the whole field down. So that'd be a bad sense of fire. So with God, we have the Hebrews 2:29 is what we put. Corey and I quoted, is our God is a consuming fire. And that is in a context of fearing him judgment-wise, right? Proverbs 30, verse 16, talks about how the fire never says enough. The fire never says enough. In that passage, Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, is talking about different things that never say enough. Elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, it refers to adultery, or, you know, sexual lust being equated to fire. Where Solomon says there that can a man or a person take hot coals in their lap and not get burned? You know, and so the fire never says enough. That's the negative side of things. But our God, now I would like to turn to Song of Solomon. Our God, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. I love this. Now, let me clarify. If you know that Song of Solomon, it's a book in the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And it is about God's gift of human love, of sexual, love between a husband and a wife. In fact, it says there three times, do not awaken love before it's time. And that's what it means. Don't move ahead of God's plan. But it's also a beautiful metaphor of Jesus and the church, because we are the bride of Christ. So in that context, this is us talking to Jesus, okay? Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Isn't that cool? I mean, that is the greatest love in the world, is the love of God. I think Lori, someone who prayed, mentioned God's love. Nobody loves you as much as God does. I promise you. The Bible spells it out clearly in Romans 5:8. For God demonstrates, present tense, demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the cross, him dying on the cross, is what proves his love for us. And we have no idea. And we probably will have some idea, and it'll take eternity to understand what Jesus, God himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, one God, three persons, but Jesus became a human being. He took on a body and he lived down in this world for roughly 33 years and then was crucified, tortured on a cross physically and emotionally, and then of course spiritually, because he was separated from his Father for the first time ever. But he, after dying, he rose from the dead on the third day, and then he after he was on this earth in his risen body for 40 days, he ascended to heaven and then sent the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit lives inside of us who believe in Jesus. But that's how he showed us his love. And he did that to pay for our sin, to pay the penalty for our sin and to take God's wrath for our sin. And there's no, obviously no greater love. He says that no greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. And that's what Jesus has done for all of us. And so I hope if you don't know him, I know a lot of this stuff is heavy stuff. It is heavy stuff. But Jesus loves you, and he wants to be your Savior and your Lord. That just means your boss. But can I get a witness? Have you ever had a harder boss than Jesus? I'm saying that backwards. Would you say he's about the easiest boss you've ever had? I mean, the things I've done anywhere, I'd be fired by now, So that's the love of God. And this is the good side of the fire. His flames are vehement flames, he read. And so he's hot for you, if I may say that reverently, right? He's hot for us. He loves you. He loves me and you. Why not? Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I kid you not, this comes out of nowhere. That's why I can never prepare it, but that's God. That's who we're talking about today. He is in love with you. And he wants to know you. And for those of us that know him, I'm 62 and I feel like I'm just barely starting. I just look forward to heaven. I'm not suicidal, but I look forward to heaven. Can I get a witness? So we got that covered. Number four, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We are to have a purifying, cleansing effect on the world. And we talked about that, Matthew 5:13. Would you put up Leviticus 21:3? So again, so the fire and the salt, that's the title of the salt and the fire. It's hard down here. We go through fiery trials. But where do we get this idea because again, I'll just read our two verse. Keep it on there. Then I'm going to read that. But for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. I can stop there. And this is from Leviticus, talking about the sacrifices. They had lots of animal sacrifices the Jews did that they had to make. And every offering of your grain offering, and also besides animals, grain, every offering of your grain offering shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. So again, just really wrapping it up, we are his witnesses. That's another term. You know, we represent Jesus. And so we want to, like he says here, have salt in yourselves. We want people to think, wow, this person's different. How come they never hear them cuss? Or how come, I had a friend years ago. It'd be a Sunday afternoon. He'd say, what are you doing tonight? I said, I'm going to church. You just went to church this morning. You know, why are you going back? Because he's thinking about church as some kind of obligation that you have or something, you know. But no, why are we here? Britt was praying about that. We just have this fellow. We could break into another song, but I don't know the words well enough. But it's just a great thing. So it's that different taste, right? But then the purity too. Salt is a purifying thing. So we want to walk accordingly. But we can't do it without his help. So the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'll read one more time. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. Remember, they were debating who was the greatest. But here's the question again. If the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Go back to Jesus. Jesus will make the change. Sorry. So, Father, thank you for that truth. And thank you for Jesus, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, anyone here or listening to this on the recording later, if you don't know Jesus, it's simple as just call upon him and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. And best I know how, I'll follow you as Lord. And Lord, we know that you will help us in that part of it. So we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.